In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity again to fellowship with one another and to fellowship around the written word. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all this house. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can have your seat. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. How's your week? All right, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Verse 17, "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. Amen. And we've been looking at the subject of faithfulness, right? I think this is the third week now. Yeah, looking at this subject. And we said that in the scriptures is a benefit. Amen. In the scriptures is a profit, and we said that profit of the scriptures is doctrine. Do you remember that? Verse 16. That profit of the scriptures is doctrine. Amen. And in that doctrine, we have reproof, we have correction, we have instruction in righteousness. So reproof, which is the giving of evidence. Amen. And correction, which is a rectification of character or behavior, and instruction, which means to train up a child, okay, would be found in doctrine. Amen. So as the word is taught, you have reproof. Amen. Giving of evidence to shape your convictions. Hallelujah. Then from there, you have correction. Then you have instruction in righteousness. Are we together? Okay, thank you very much. And we saw that if that's the case, then that means that in the scriptures we can be corrected concerning faithfulness, right? In the scriptures we can be instructed concerning faithfulness. In the scriptures we can be taught doctrine, okay, concerning faithfulness. And we've been doing that throughout this teaching, the first week and the second. You know, so far we've seen in this teaching the concept of faithfulness in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And we examined the various Hebrew words used to describe faithfulness in the Old Testament. Do you remember that? Okay, we have, first of all, emunah. Right? Emunah, which is the word that describes that steadiness of character till the very end. Hallelujah. You know, staying as you are, unchanging in your commitment. Hallelujah. So, and I remember we used the story of Moses, right? How Moses lifted up his hands, right? And it remained steady till the going down of the sun. And we said that's a picture of emunah, right? A picture of faithfulness. Hallelujah. And we also looked at the Hebrew word Auman. A-M-A-N. Auman. And we said that word describes prolonged, secure, and sure character of being trustworthy. Remember that? Okay. And thirdly, we saw the word emeth, E-M-E-T-H, which simply means true, right? Describing one who is reliable. Hallelujah. His words and actions can be trusted. So such a person is not pretentious in what he says or what he does. Hallelujah. Now, lastly, we saw the word immune. E-M-U-N, immune, which means trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. And it was used five times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. Proverbs 13 verse 17. Proverbs 14 verse 5. Proverbs 20 verse 6. And Isaiah 26 verse 2. Amen. And we said that faithfulness would refer to that character of loyalty to a person or to a cause. And that character does not fluctuate. Hallelujah. It refers to that character of loyalty to a person or to a cause that does not fluctuate. Amen. Now, that character would be seen in words, but it is not limited to words. It will be seen in words, but it's not limited to words. You know, it is faithful words and actions stemming from a faithful heart. Amen? And we concluded by saying that God expects us to be faithful. Hallelujah. You know, and I said last week as well that your pastor, amen, also expects that you be faithful. Hallelujah. You know, that's how we would reach the world and impact our society with the gospel. Okay? In being reliable in and with the things of God. Amen. You know, I said last week that it's not enough to just know the Bible. Amen? Some people think that's all there is to ministry. You know, just know, have sufficient facts, sufficient information, being able to quote Greek and Hebrew words, you know, being able to contextually divide the scriptures. Say, he's faithful. Not necessarily. You know, what faithfulness is not only having so much knowledge, but being committed with that knowledge. Amen? You know, it's in that commitment that faithfulness lies. So if you know everything, but you are not faithful with what you know, it won't profit anyone. Amen? I remember I said last week that I prefer someone who doesn't know so much, amen, than someone who knows, amen, claims to know so much, but is not faithful. Okay? I prefer someone who doesn't know so much, but is faithful, than someone who knows so much, but is not faithful. Amen? The person who doesn't know so much, but is faithful, eventually will get to know. Amen? You know, his character would ensure that he knows. If you know what I'm saying. But, you know, the guy who knows so much might just get so proud. Amen? And would not want to know. So, that's a brief recap of what we saw in the Old Testament portion of the Bible concerning faithfulness. Hallelujah. Now, today, we want to look at faithfulness in the New Testament. Faithfulness in the New Testament. So, you know, right now, this is a new subheading, right? Okay, thank you. Faithfulness in the New Testament. Now, there are two major Greek words that are used to describe faithfulness in the New Testament. Two major Greek words. Now, the first word we have is the word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis. Okay? And it's adjective. Now, pistis is a noun. Okay? Now, its adjective is pistos. P-I-S-T-O-S. Do you get that? So, the noun is pistis. The adjective is pistos. Amen? But you can use them together, as we'll see. And the second word used for faithfulness in the New Testament is the word aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Now, each one of these words describes an aspect of faithfulness. Amen. Now, let's take pistos slash pistis. Amen. Or pistis slash pistos. We'll be looking at them together. Amen. Now, the noun pistis means fidelity. Fidelity. Not the bank. Amen. Fidelity. Or loyalty. Hallelujah. The character of one that can be relied upon. The character of one that can be relied upon. Now, its Adjectival form, which is pistos, right? The adjective also has a similar meaning in the Greek. It means trustworthy and reliable. Trustworthy and reliable. Hallelujah. Now, of course, this word pistis or pistos slash pistos is used for God. Amen. As we saw in the Old Testament, God is faithful. Hallelujah. And he is the best picture of faithfulness that the Bible has to offer. Now, the New Testament continues this line of thought. Hallelujah. You know, like we saw when we examined the Hebrew word emeth in the Old Testament, God's faithfulness is seen in the fact that he fulfills his promises and commitments that he makes. Hallelujah. His faithfulness is seen in the fact that he fulfills the promises and the commitments that he makes, you know, whether the other party deserves it or not. Amen. That is his character. So God's faithfulness abides by his promises. Amen. God's faithfulness abides by his promises. Look at how Paul used this word in Romans 3. Please turn there. Romans 3, verse 3. Romans 3, verse 3. He says, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect?" Verse 4. "Certainly not." Hallelujah. He says, "Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar." Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? So, Paul here is talking about the Jews, okay? And he says concerning them that although some of them did not believe, their unbelief did not render God's faithfulness void. Hallelujah. So the Jews' rejection of God will not make him go back on his promises which he made to their fathers. Hallelujah. You know, he promised that through them salvation would come. Remember, Jesus was a Jew, right? Okay. And he fulfilled this promise even though they were unfaithful to him. Hallelujah. And I think we saw that last week, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 18. It says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no." Verse 19. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes." Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes," hallelujah, "and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us," hallelujah. So God fulfilled his promise in Jesus. That's what verse 20 is saying, okay? He says, "All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen." That is, Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise made to the fathers, right? Remember, we saw this last week. Okay, so the fulfillment of God's promises depend on his faithful character, not the character of the other party. You know, it must be very clear to you. Amen? You know, you cannot be called faithful or loyal when you are only faithful to people who do things that you like. Amen? You know, you cannot be called faithful or loyal when you are only faithful to people who do things that you like. Hallelujah. Faithfulness is truly tested when the other party is unfaithful. Are you following this? When the other party is unfaithful. So, despite the fact that man was unfaithful or man is unfaithful, God remains loyal. Hallelujah. You know, faithfulness is his character. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. It says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." Hallelujah. It says, "He cannot deny himself." Do you see that? So he cannot stop being faithful because we were. Are you following this? So that is his character, regardless of man. So God's faithfulness in the New Testament is seen in that consistency of his character. And let me say this as well, that we are righteous today because God is faithful. Hallelujah. Okay, His faithfulness is seen in the fact that He keeps us righteous and blameless till the very end. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, it says, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Say, He confirms us to the end. Say, He confirms us to the end. Hallelujah. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. So we'll be confirmed to the end and we'll be blameless because He's faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. His faithfulness will keep us righteous till the very end. And, you know, this doesn't mean that we will always do what is right. Amen. But God has chosen that He will never revoke the righteousness that He has bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. He will never revoke the righteousness that He has bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. That is His faithfulness. Amen. You know, God's faithful nature is the hope of eternal life. God's faithful nature is the hope of eternal life. Look at Titus 1 verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Do you see that? God who cannot lie. So His character, okay, is that proof of eternal life. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? Amen. Also, His faithfulness is the basis for our forgiveness. His faithfulness is the basis for our forgiveness. Look at 1 John 1 verse 8. 1 John 1 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've explained this to you, right? Do you remember? Is he a Christian saying this? Verse 8. Not a Christian, right? Okay, the Gnostics, remember. Okay, verse 19. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. And just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So His faithfulness is the basis for our forgiveness. Like I told you, anyone who says that the believer is not forgiven of his sins is like you're saying God is unfaithful. Amen. He's faithful. Say He's faithful. Say He's faithful. Hallelujah. Now, since God is faithful, Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains the faithful sayings of the gospel. He explains the faithful sayings of the gospel. Look at 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. Or, pardon me, 15. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Hallelujah. That Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is a faithful saying of the gospel, that Christ came into the world to forgive, or pardon me, to save sinners. Well, forgive them as well. Amen. You know, forgiveness is in that work, but it says save. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 4, sorry about that, verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. It says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Amen. Verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profits a little. Now, what is bodily exercise? You know, I've explained this to you. Gym, aerobics, gymnastics. What is bodily exercise? The works of the law. Remember, I explained it to you. Exercises that you do with your body. Amen. The customs, the rituals of the law. Don't forget that, because, you know, several sermons have been preached from this verse. Oh Lord. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having godliness of the things which now is and of that which is to come. Verse 9. This is a faithful saying. Do you see that again? And worthy of all acceptance. So the faithful saying here is that the works of the law have little benefit. Are you following this? The rituals of the law have little benefit. Are you following this? Now look at Titus. Titus 3 verse 1. Titus 3 verse 1. It says, remind them to be subject to leaders, to authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, verse 5, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, hallelujah, he saved us. See, I'm saved. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm renewed. See, I've been regenerated. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us. Now, whom is the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Hallelujah. So the faithful saying here in Titus 3, 1-8 is that we can do good works, or we are expected to do good works as believers, but we are not saved by good works. Hallelujah. Verse 5 tells us that. So the gospel is faithful or true because God is faithful. Hallelujah. What the gospel says can be trusted. Are you following this? So the Paul talks about the faithful sayings of the New Testament, or the faithful sayings of the gospel. Hallelujah. They are called faithful because the God who is behind them is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the faithfulness of God is also described in our daily lives. The faithfulness of God is also described in our daily lives. Now, his faithfulness will ensure that we can bear the temptations that come our way. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Are you here so far? Okay. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Hallelujah. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Do you see that? That you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So God's faithfulness will ensure that we can bear the temptations that come our way. What else? His faithfulness also keeps us from the evil one. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. He says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Hallelujah. So his faithfulness keeps us from the evil one. See, I'm kept. See, I'm kept. Hallelujah. You know, we can also persevere in times of persecution because we know that God who promised is faithful. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Do you see that again? Now, the context here in Hebrews 10, it speaks of those who are thinking of giving up. You know, Jews who were thinking of giving up because of persecutions for their faith. Okay, you know, similar to 1 Peter 4:19. 1 Peter 4:19. It says, therefore, let those who will suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Do you see that again? So he says, he talks about those who suffer according to the will of God. Now, what does it mean to suffer according to the will of God? It has been given several definitions, but in context, it refers to persecutions. Amen? That is the only suffering believers or Christians should look forward to. Amen? Is that clear? Amen? And again, God's faithfulness is also used as a source of encouragement to those suffering persecution. Do you see that? Okay, now, the next chapter of Hebrews 10, you know, that's Hebrews 11, also tells us, or speaks of Sarah, you know who Sarah is, right? The wife of Abraham, who judged God faithful. You see that in Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says that she judged God faithful and she received what was promised. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've seen once again that faithfulness, pistis or pistos, are used to qualify a reliable God. Hallelujah. Who fulfills what he promises and can be trusted. Hallelujah. So now, having seen faithfulness, is that clear? Okay. Now, having seen faithfulness used for God, let's now look at faithfulness used for man. Amen. How the word pistos or pistis is used for man. Look at Matthew 24:45. Now, it gives us a very good picture here of what faithfulness is. So, let's read. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, do you see that? Underline that in your Bible. Will find so doing. Do you see that? Verse 47. It says, assuredly I say to you that it will make him ruler over all his goods. Verse 48. But if that evil servant says in his heart, now pay attention, my master is delaying his coming. Do you see that? Okay, verse 49, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him. Do you see that? Underline that in your Bible. And at an hour that he is not aware of. Underline that again in your Bible. Verse 51. And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. Underline that. With the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. So here we see a description of two kinds of servants. Please look at your Bible. One is called faithful. And verse 46 tells us why. He says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Do you see that? So he is given a duty or a task to perform. And when his master comes back, he finds him doing so. Hallelujah. So his faithfulness is seen in consistently doing what is required of him, even when his master is not there. When his master is not around. Now, when his master comes, he finds him doing what he has instructed. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 47. He says his faithfulness will be rewarded. He says, assuredly, I say to you that it will make him ruler over all his goods. Hallelujah. So, because he has proved faithful, he has proved himself faithful, more responsibility will be given to him. Hallelujah. Now, observe another kind of servant in verse 48. Another kind of servant. He says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. You see, it's called evil. Are you following this? It's called evil. The word evil there in the Greek is the word kakos. K-A-K-O-S. K-A-K-O-S. Kakos. That is the word evil in the Greek. It means malicious or wicked. Now, notice how he is described in verse 48. He says, my master is delaying his coming, verse 49, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Do you see that? So he stops being faithful because his master is not there to watch what he's doing. Are you following this? Are you following this? So what can we call this? It's eye service. Amen. Hypocrisy. Hypocritical. Amen. You know, if you are only faithful when your leaders are around, that's not true faithfulness. Hallelujah. True faithfulness is to remain as you are even when your leaders are around and when they are absent. Amen. True faithfulness is to remain as you are when your leaders are around and when they are absent. Remember, we saw an example of this in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 22 verse 7, where it says of the workers in God's house that there need be no accounting made with them. Do you remember that? Because they deal faithfully. That's faithfulness. Hallelujah. You know, you don't worry what a faithful person will say or do when you're not there. Let me come again with that. You do not worry what a faithful person will do or say when you are not around. A faithful person can be trusted in your absence. Now, simple question. Ask yourself, am I like this? Amen? Am I like this? Can your leaders trust you when they are away? Can your leaders trust you when they are not around? You know, very important question to ask yourself. Now, observe this unfaithful servant. Observe his end in verse 50 of Matthew 25:24. It says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him. Do you see that? Unexpectedly. And at an hour that he is not aware of. Verse 51. And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Do you see that? Do you see that? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So his master will come unaware, and he calls him a hypocrite. Now, that word hypocrite in the Greek, I remember I gave a brief explanation of it last week, is the word hypocrites. H-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-E-S. H-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-E-S. Hypocrites. The E after T is accentuated. It literally means one who wears a mask. One who wears a mask. It was used for theater actors in classical Greek, or performance. Theater actors or performance. One who pretends to be who is not. That's the word hypocrites. One who pretends to be who is not. A two-faced individual. A two-faced person whose profession, what he says, does not match his practice, what he does. I'll come again with that. His profession, what he says, does not match his practice, what he does. Amen? Someone who says one thing but does another thing. That's a hypocrite. So in this case, he claims to be faithful, but his actions show otherwise. He is only faithful in front of his leaders. That's a hypocrite. Amen. Okay, simple question again. If pastor knew all that you thought, said, and did behind his back when he is not there, would he be pleased with you? Please write that down. If pastor knew all that you thought, said, and did behind his back, I mean everything you think, you say, and you do when he is not there, will he be pleased with you? Now, the answer would reveal a hypocrite. A hypocrite is one who only does what is right in front of others. That's not true faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the next chapter, Matthew 25, he uses that adjective, pistos, again. You see that in verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. Now, verse 14 down to verse 30 records that famous parable of the talents. Do you remember it? The parable of the talents. Very funny parable. Now, let's read from verse 14. Are you here? Okay, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, follow closely, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Follow closely, verse 16. "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Do you see that? Verse 17. "And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Verse 18. "And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground." Follow closely, okay? "And hid his Lord's money." Verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Verse 20. "And he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.'" Verse 21. "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and what? Faithful servant.'" Do you see that? That's the word pistos. "Faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." You see that? Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, it says, "He also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.'" Verse 23, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" So we see the first 2 servants called good and faithful servants by their master. Okay? And their faithfulness was rewarded. Now, but look at verse 24. There's always that odd guy out. Amen? Look at verse 24. It talks about the last servant. It says, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man.'" Can you imagine? "Reaping where you have not sown." Such audacity. "And gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, dear, you have what is yours." So he was unfaithful with what he received, and he even blamed his master for his unfaithfulness. Hallelujah. You know, there are people like this today. You say, "Why did you stop attending that church?" You say, "I don't like the way the pastor behaves." Amen. "It was my birthday. Nobody checked on me." You know, those very funny excuses. "My father's funeral was last week. Nobody came. So, because of burial." You know, giving excuses to be unfaithful. That's this guy. Amen. And let me say this about them, that their end is never good. Amen. It's not a curse. Okay. Their end is never good. It's a state of the mind. Look at verse 26. It says, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant.'" Do you see that? So that was his issue. Amen. He was wicked and he was lazy. "You knew that I weep where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered scattered seed." Pardon me. Verse 27. "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest." Verse 28. Pardon me. "Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Do you see that? Verse 29. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Verse 30. "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hallelujah. So we see that the first 2 servants are called faithful because they prove themselves as reliable, even in the absence of their leader. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. First Corinthians 4, verse 2. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Do you see that? It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Stewards are servants, okay? So it is required that they be found faithful. Say, God wants me faithful. Say, God wants me faithful. God wants me faithful. Hallelujah. He says it is required in stewards, in servants, that one be found faithful. The word required there in the Greek is the word zeteo. Z-E-T-E-O. Z-E-T-E-O. The E is accentuated. The O is also accentuated. Zaitaho. That's how it's pronounced. It means demanded. Okay, demanded. So faithfulness is actually a demand. Are you following this? It's, you can say it is demanded in stewards that one be found faithful. It's not a suggestion. Amen. It's not a suggestion. It's not a plea. Please be faithful. Please now be faithful. No, be faithful. It's actually a demand. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like we are demanded often scriptures to pray. Amen. We are also demanded of instructed, amen, to be faithful. You must be faithful. Hallelujah. You know, and we saw from the Old Testament that unfaithfulness is a trait or a character that is bad. Amen. It's a bad trait or character, unfaithfulness. Amen. It should be frowned upon, never applauded. Never. Amen. Unfaithfulness should be frowned upon, never applauded. You know, some people are like that. They applaud unfaithful people. You know, you see somebody being unfaithful to their pastor and to their church. Say, yes. Yes, it's true. Say your mind. Have you seen that before? You know, somebody is being unfaithful and another believer is telling him, yes, it's true. Say your mind, Jare. Don't let any pastor push you around. Can you imagine? You know, applauding an unfaithful person. You know, when you see individuals who inspire you to disobey spiritual authority, know that the devil is after your soul. Amen. I'll come again with that. When you see individuals who inspire you to disobey spiritual authority, know that the devil is after your soul. Amen. Run for your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Avoid them. Hallelujah. You know, there's some people like that. They just get very angry. And a member of this church was telling me, you know, someone was asking this fellow, he said, why is it that every time you're always talking well about your pastor? Is he the only pastor? Say, my pastor this, my pastor that, my pastor this, my pastor. Is he only the one? You are putting his picture. Amen. You know, why are you angry? It's just, why are you angry? See, you are always sharing your pastor's posts. Is he the only pastor? Amen. They are angry because you are loyal. Hallelujah. You know, no one should tell you to avoid such friends. They are not your friends. Amen. No, don't be the one who makes others unfaithful, and don't keep friends that make you unfaithful. Hallelujah. Don't be the one that makes others unfaithful, and don't keep friends that make you unfaithful. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't let anyone make you feel uneasy because you are loyal. Amen. Faithfulness, loyalty is a Christian virtue, is a Christian and godly character. Don't let anyone make you feel uneasy or you are doing too much because you are faithful. No. Say, I choose to be faithful. Say, I choose to be faithful. Hallelujah. So, while the Bible frowns at unfaithfulness, it actually commends faithful people. Okay? While the Bible frowns at unfaithfulness, it actually commends faithful people. Now, we have those in the epistles who are called faithful or reliable. Those in the epistles who are called faithful or reliable. Now, you would need some headings in here. Okay? Now, the first person we will see is a man by the name Tychicus. Tychicus. T-Y-C-H-I-C-U-S. Tychicus. So, you know, that is a subheading, right? Do you know? Okay, thank you. Now, look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 21. Please be very fast with your Bible, okay? Ephesians 6, 21. He says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Paul is talking here. Tychicus, beloved brother and faithful minister. Do you see that? Underline that in your Bible. Faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you. So Tychicus is called a faithful minister. You know, this same Tychicus was mentioned in Acts 20 verse 4. Acts 20 verse 4. He says, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus. Do you see that? And Trophimus of Asia. So Tychicus was a companion of Paul on his last journey from Corinth to Asia. Amen. It was a companion of Paul on his last journey from Corinth to Asia. Now, Paul also mentions him again in Titus 3:12 and 2 Timothy 4 verse 12. Titus 3:12 and 2 Timothy 4 verse 12. Now, in these instances, he was sent by Paul somewhere. Okay? He was sent by Paul somewhere. So, he was actually Paul's messenger, so to speak. But he was also a minister. Amen? So, Paul calls him faithful probably because he had tested and proven his loyalty. Hallelujah. You know, he could be sent without issues. Hallelujah. You know, like the Proverbs 25 verse 13, faithful messenger that we look at in the Old Testament, that he say he describes him as a cold drink on a hot day. Do you remember that? So, that is Tychicus. Faithful. A faithful messenger. Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul commends him. Hallelujah. Now, next, we have another man by the name Epaphras. You know, this is a new subheading, right? Okay, thank you. Epaphras. You see him mentioned in Colossians 1 verse 7. Colossians 1 verse 7. He says, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear beloved servant, who is a faithful minister. Do you see that? Of Christ on your behalf. So he is called a faithful minister. Amen. He is one whom Paul had observed as reliable. He is one whom Paul had observed as reliable. Now, Epaphras is the shortened form of Epaphroditus. Okay? Although, you know, you find another Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:25 and Philippians 4:18. But it's unlikely that it's the same person. Okay? They just have similar names, but it's unlikely that it's the same person there. Did you get that? Okay. Now, what was Epaphras doing? We see him three chapters away in Ephesians 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12. What was he doing? Now, write I. Amen? We are listing some things now. I, that's number one, okay? He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a born servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in what? In prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Areopolis. Hallelujah. Amen. So, number one, Epaphras is called a born servant of Christ. He is called a born servant of Christ. You see that in verse 12, right? Now, that word born servant is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's the word doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Not D-O-L-O. Doulos. Aha. D-O-U-L-O-S. Now, it was used in classical Greek for a born slave. A bond slave, B-O-N-D. Now, not James Bond slave. You know, very, very key to make very clear. Amen. A bond slave. So, bond slash slave. Amen. Bond slash slave. That's the word doulos. You know, someone without any rights of their own. Bond servant. Someone without any rights of their own. You know what a right is, right? Privilege. Amen. Now, in the case of believers, a born servant is one who willingly gives up his rights to serve others. He has rights. Are you following this? But he willingly lets go of his rights. He waives his rights, like we say it in law. He waives his rights in order to serve others. Hallelujah. You know, now others, in bracket, particularly God and his people. Particularly God and his people. Now, that word bondservant or doulos was used for the apostles. You see it used in Romans 1 verse 1, Galatians 1 verse 10, Philippians 1 verse 1, 2 Timothy 2 verse 24. I'll come again with that. Romans 1 verse 1, Galatians 1 verse 10, Philippians 1 verse 1, and 2 Timothy 2 verse 24. It was used for the apostles in those texts. It was also used for other preachers of the gospel. You see that in Jude 1 verse 1. Other preachers and teachers of the gospel. So they are called bond servants or doulos because they've given themselves in service to the Lord. Hallelujah. So Epaphras was such a one. He was committed and dedicated in his service to the Lord and to his people. Are you here? Are you here? Now, secondly, in Colossians 4 verse 12, it records that Epaphras always labored for the saints fervently in prayers. Amen? He labored fervently for the saints in prayers. Now, the phrase laboring fervently used in verse 12 is just one word in the Greek. It's one word in the Greek. It's the word agonizomai. Agonizomai. Does that sound familiar? Agonizomai. Agony, right? The English word, okay. The O after G is accentuated. A-G-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I. A-G-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Agonizomai. It means to endeavor with strenuous zeal. To endeavor with strenuous zeal. Amen? So, this describes Epaphras' attitude as he prayed for other saints. He was zealous. Hallelujah. Now, to what end? That the saints may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See verse 13. It says, "For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis." So he did all he did for the spiritual growth of the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what stand perfect and complete in all the will of God means. Hallelujah. That's Epaphras. You know, Paul mentions him again in Philemon 1:23, and he calls him his fellow prisoner. His fellow prisoner. Now, probably because Epaphras, and Paul had been imprisoned together for the sake of the gospel. Amen? So he calls him his fellow prisoner in Philemon 1:23. So Epaphras proved faithful to God, his people, the gospel, and Paul, even in trying times. He proved faithful to God, his people, the gospel, and Paul, even in trying times. Is that clear? Now, another person we're looking at is a man by the name Onesimus. Onesimus. You know, in the same chapter we are in right now, Colossians 4 verse 9, Paul mentions him. Colossians 4 verse 9. He says, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother." Do you see that? "Who is one of you?" Please underline "faithful and beloved brother," okay? "They will make known to you all things which are happening here." So Paul calls him a faithful and a beloved brother. This Onesimus is the same that was referred to in Philemon 1:10, who was the former servant of Philemon. Do you remember the story? In Philemon 1:10. Please turn there. He says, "I appeal to you for my son." Now, he calls him his son, meaning he was his disciple, right? In the faith. He says, "Whom I have begotten while in my chains." Verse 11. "Who was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." Do you see that? So, Paul calls Onesimus profitable. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, that he wishes that he could keep Onesimus. Can you imagine? Amen. He wishes he could keep Onesimus with himself, that he may minister to him. Look at verse 12. He says, "I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart." Verse 13. "Whom I wish to keep with me." Do you see that? that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Hallelujah. So we see that Onesimus was counted faithful by Paul, and losing him was a hard thing to do. Amen. Losing Onesimus was a hard thing for Paul to do. You know, leaders always love to have faithful people around. Amen. Leaders always love to have faithful people around. You know, this is very important. You see a man who is very faithful, that Paul says, if I have my way, I wish he would stay with me. Question again. You know, you should be writing these questions down. Can pastor say this about me? Amen. You know, things to just think about. I remember a pastor was telling me that some people, when they are leaving the church, is rejoicing. Do you hear what I just said? He said, pastor, I want to leave. He said, glory, hey, hallelujah. Amen. He said, go with the troubles. Amen. You know, but some people are hard to lose. God. Amen. That is Onesimus. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Now, next person we're going to look, that's the new subheading. Right? Okay. Is a person by the name Timothy. You should know him, right? Timothy. You see him mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. He says, are you there? He says, for this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. You see that? On the line, faithful son in the Lord. So, you know, it was not his literal son, right? Okay, son is used figuratively there, right? Okay, for a disciple, one who was taught by another. So, it's not wrong to call your pastor father. Amen? And it's not wrong for your pastor to call you his son. Son and father refers to discipleship. Amen? One who trains you spiritually. Hallelujah. He says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Do you see that? Okay. So, Paul calls Timothy here faithful. Amen? He also instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 to commit sound doctrine only to faithful men. He tells him to commit sound doctrine only to faithful men. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men. Please underline that in your Bible. Who will also, who will be able to teach others also. Amen. So only faithful men will be able to teach others also. Are you following this? Amen. Teaching unfaithful men is like pouring water in a basket filled with holes. Amen. Teaching unfaithful men is like pouring water in a basket filled with holes. Amen. It has no profit. You will be at the loss. Amen. How do I know faithful men? Simple. I have a criteria. You know, different pastors have different criteria. But me, as a pastor here, I have a criteria. Those who show up. Amen. Amen. Those who show up. Those are faithful people. Amen. You know, as a pastor here and you as members here, you know, I'm mandated to teach and explain well to you. Because you are members of this church. Amen. You know, but you know, it would be silly for me to focus on outsiders. Amen. When you are here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I remember being very young in ministry. I used to do that. Amen. You know, back then, you know, folks would reach me on Facebook, you know, with questions. Lot of questions. Amen. So I'll wake up in the morning, you see like 20 different questions from different people. You know, say, well, pastor, can you explain this to me? Please, can you explain this to me, sir? Can you explain that to me? So imagine, I will now take all of them one by one, teaching them. Strangers, people who don't have any intention to being committed to the work and what the work God has committed to us to do. You know, all such people, most times I tell you something, they just want to use you. Amen. That's when you say, this man knows Bible. Okay. You know, they have their pastor. They say, okay, let me go. This man knows Bible. Let me reach him. Do you understand? I used to call them Nicodemus. Amen. Nicodemus disciples. Amen. You have your pastor. But maybe your pastor, you think your pastor is not as sound as another person. You now leave him. You now go and meet a stranger outside. You're asking him for questions. You don't have any intention to be committed with him, but you are asking him questions. Well, you know what they call that? Side chick. Amen? That's the truth. It's side chick. You have your main chick, right? Amen? On Sunday. And you go to his church. Amen? But this one is the side chick. Yeah, you have no intention to be of being committed to him, but you just want to use him. You understand? So back then, when I was very young, let me say, very stupid, I would answer them. You know, Pastor, can you explain this verse for me? I say, okay, spend hours on foreigners and strangers, amen, in the commonwealth of Zion. Teach them. Till eventually, I give myself sense. So when he reached me, I say, have you asked your pastor about this question? He said, no. Am I your pastor? No. Okay, ask your pastor. Amen? If you know he's not everything you want in a pastor, why are you with him? You know, it's just common sense. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, don't commit doctrine to unfaithful men. They would use you. When they are done using you, leave. Amen? Are you following this? Only faithful men. What is faithful men? To me, the criterion is those who show up. Those who are on ground. Those are the faithful ones. Amen? You know, some people all over the place can say, oh, Pastor Josh Banks is such a blessing to the body of Christ. You know, I'm so grateful for him. It's fine. Okay? It's okay. But those who are my people of primary assignment is this church. Are you following this? Amen? So, if I'm to answer questions, is those in this church I would focus on the most. You know, some of you reach me with questions on you reach me over the phone and I answer you. Amen. Sometimes I take hours to teach you, and when I'm done, you say, thank you, sir. And I say, well, okay, but it's my duty towards you. Amen. It's actually my responsibility to teach you. Amen. So even if you have a question 10 hours, it's fine. It's you. Do you understand? Commit to faithful men. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who are here. Hallelujah. Amen. So the leader's focus must be on the faithful ones. Hallelujah. Amen. You are wasting your time trying to teach unfaithful people. Wasting your time trying to teach unfaithful people. Are you following this? Now, lastly, look at Luke 16, verse 12. Luke 16, verse 12. It says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Do you see that? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So note that your faithfulness is seen in your commitment to another man's. Your faithfulness is seen in your commitment to another man's. You know, it is easy to be faithful in your own things. Amen. To be faithful in your own ministry, it is yours, right? Okay, but how you treat what is not yours reveals whether you are faithful or not. Hallelujah. So be reliable. What did I say? Be reliable. Hallelujah. So next, let's look at the second Greek word used to describe faithfulness as we begin to close. The second Greek word used to describe faithfulness in the New Testament portion of the Bible. It is the word aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. The E after L is accentuated, okay? Aletheia. Now, this word is very similar to emeth in the Old Testament. You remember that word? Emeth. It is very similar to emeth in the Old Testament. The word that means truth. Truth. Okay, a noun. It's a noun, aletheia. That is reality. Okay, reality as opposed to illusion. Reality as opposed to illusion. So, aletheia refers to that which is truthful, free from affectation. Truthful, free from affectation. Affectation means false display. False display. Pretense, simulation, falsehood, and deceit. Aletheia refers to that which is truthful, free from affectation, false display, pretense, simulation, falsehood, and deceit. It means sincerity of mind and integrity of character. Sincerity of mind and integrity of character. You can put in bracket faithful. Faithful. Now, this word also has an adjectival form. It's the word alethes. A-L-E-T-H-E-S. A-L-E-T-H-E-S. The E, both E's are accentuated, okay? After L, after T. Alethes. You know, that's the adjectival form of aletheia. And both words are used interchangeably. Amen. Now, let's see, first of all, how this word was used for God. Amen. Romans 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. It says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, hallelujah, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Do you see that? So it says that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, hallelujah. The word truth there is the word aletheia. Amen. For the faithfulness or the truthfulness of God, hallelujah. Now, he says this because he has said earlier in chapter 3, please turn there, verse 3, that Israel's unfaithfulness did not make God unfaithful. Israel's unfaithfulness did not make God unfaithful. Romans 3, verse 3, he says, for what if some did not believe? Some there is Israel, okay? Will their unbelief make the unfaithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Hallelujah. He says, let God be what? True. Do you see that? And every man a liar. Hallelujah. Amen. True here is that adjectival form of alethes, okay? Of aletheia, pardon me, alethes. A-L-E-T-H-E-S, which means truthful. Amen. So let God be truthful, we can say, regardless of man. Hallelujah. Amen. So God kept his promise to Israel because he is truthful. Amen. He is trustworthy. Hallelujah. You know, this was regardless of Israel. It was regardless of them. Remember, we saw that last week, right? Okay. So back to Romans 15, verse 8. Okay. It tells us that Jesus came for, or the word for there means on behalf of. Okay. Or for the sake of. Do you get that? So Jesus came on behalf of, or for the sake of truth, or the truth of God, the truthfulness of God. Are you following this? Are you following this? To confirm. The word confirm can mean to fulfill. Okay? The promises made to the Hebrew fathers. Do you see that? Who are those? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, etc. Amen? So the coming of Jesus is the greatest display of God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. All that he promised since Genesis, he fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. And we said that this promise is salvation. This promise is salvation. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the story of the truthful God. Hallelujah. The gospel is the story of the truthful God. He did not lie. He said and he did what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following this? Therefore, the gospel is called truth. Therefore, the gospel is called truth. Look at Romans 2, verse 8. Romans 2, verse 8. He says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth. Obey the truth. The truth here is the gospel. Are you following this? You obey it by believing it. Are you following this? Is the truth, and you obey it by believing it. Is there anyone like that here? Is there anyone like that here? Anyone who has obeyed the truth? Amen? Anyone who has believed the gospel? Hallelujah. Amen. So it speaks of those here who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth. Obviously, these are not believers, right? Okay, thank you. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. It says, in him you also, trusted is in italics, so we might leave it, we might want to take it out, but let me leave it, okay? In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. Do you see that again? Or we can say the message of truth. That's the word there. Okay? The message of truth. Now, what is the message of truth? Read on. The gospel of your salvation. Do you see that? In whom you also haven't believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Say, I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So again, you see the gospel called here the word of truth. Look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. It says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? The truth. Do you see that? So the pillar and ground, can we say the pillar and ground of the gospel? Okay? Okay? So the church is the pillar, we can say the foundation, right? And the ground of the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what prevents the truth, which is the gospel, from being contaminated. That's very key. Do you get that? Very key. That shows you that any other thing being done in church, except, you know, ensuring that this message of truth remains grounded, might not be God's plan. Amen. God's plan is that the church remains the ground and pillar of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we also find the phrase, the truth of the gospel, used. The phrase, the truth of the gospel. Look at Galatians 2, verse 5. Galatians 2, verse 5. It says, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Do you see that? So, this, before that, look at Galatians 5 again. Galatians 5, 7. Galatians 5, 7. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Do you see that again? Okay. So, this phrase, the truth of the gospel, is used to show that the gospel is reliable as opposed to false representations of the same. It is used to show that the gospel is reliable as opposed to false representations of the same. So whenever you see the truth of the gospel, most times is used, probably someone is trying to change the gospel. You know, that is what the book of Galatians is all about. Right? Okay? Someone is trying to change the gospel. So the truth of the gospel is that reliable gospel as opposed to false representations of the same. Hallelujah. Are you following so far? Okay, now, as we begin to close, how many times have I said that now? Amen. Now, let's see how that word aletheia was used for men. Are you learning so far? Okay, thank you. Let's see how it was used for men. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. It says, does not rejoice in iniquity. Now, obviously, if you read the antecedent text, is talking about love, right? So you can say, love does not rejoice in iniquity, okay? But rejoices in the truth. Hallelujah. Rejoices in aletheia. That's the word truth there, okay? Truthfulness. Hallelujah. Faithfulness. That is love. 2 John. 2 John 1 verse 1. 2 John 1 verse 1. It says, the elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Do you see that again? Whom I love in truth. Okay? So, the word truth there, aletheia, right? In whom, you can say, whom I love sincerely. Okay? Whom I love truthfully, whom I love faithfully. Hallelujah. So, it is used primarily to describe genuine love for others. Do you see that? It is used primarily to describe genuine love for others. Love that is free from pretense. Love that is free from pretense. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, we can conclude or describe faithfulness in the New Testament this way. Faithfulness is the character of one that can be relied upon. In bracket, you can write pistis, right? Right? The character of one that can be relied upon. Pistis. Referring to one who is trustworthy. Pistos. True faithfulness is to remain as you are. Dependable and reliable. Even when you are not being watched. Remember we saw that, right? Even when you are not being watched. A hypocrite is one who is only faithful when his leaders are watching. That's a hypocrite. One who is only faithful when others are watching. Faithful people, okay, are not, their faithfulness, let me put it this way, the faithfulness of the faithful is not tied to the observance of others. Amen? Whether they are being watched, whether they are not being watched, they remain as they are. Hallelujah. Amen? We also saw that faithful people are often recognized and commended, right? You saw Tychicus, right? Epaphras, Onesimus, Timothy, and you know others as well in the New Testament. Amen. But you must remain faithful even though you are not recognized or commended. Amen. That's true faithfulness. You must be, let me make this very clear. Okay, you know, we've seen that faithful people can be commended, right? You can say well done, right? You should, right? But even if you are not, don't get angry. You know, very little things make people offended in church. Very little things. Amen. You know, we have a meeting and we organize, we have a team together and we organize the meeting together. And in the meeting, pastor calls people, you know, who made the meeting a success. Amen. You know, he says, Sister Jane. Amen. Brother Tunde. Amen. Uncle Shola. Amen. And all of that. And you are waiting. You must come in him. You must come in him. Ah, you must. Do you know the sacrifices? You must come in him. And he doesn't. And just that. I'm not joking. Just that is enough to make someone so angry that they leave the church. You know, not good enough. Not good enough at all. You're not faithful. You're not faithful. If you need somebody to commend you, this church is what it is because of you. We celebrate you. Without you, we are nothing. You know? And all of that. If pastor doesn't do that, you get angry. No. Choose to be faithful regardless of commendation. Okay? If commendation comes, receive it. Amen? You know, it's good. You know, receive it. But if it doesn't come, continue as you are. That's faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, faithfulness also is that character of being true. Faithfulness is that character of being true. Aletheia, right? Put that in bracket in front of that. Aletheia. So it is truthfulness full of pretense and deceit. It is truthfulness free of pretense and deceit. Your words and actions can be trusted. Amen? Without thinking you have an ulterior motive. Your words and actions can be trusted without thinking you have an ulterior motive. You know, there are some people like that. When they start doing good things in church, you just start getting suspicious. Ah, what do you want? Amen? Come on. We are doing... You're laughing. You know, we are putting together the workforce. Amen? We want to choose leaders in church. Suddenly, they start showing up early in church. Start calling pastor. Ah, pastor, thank you so much. You've been such a blessing. Ah, what do you want? Amen? You know, some of you are even guilty of that. You know, for your parents. Ah, your sweetest daddy in the whole world. I love you, daddy. Amen? Don't be such a person. Amen? You know, when you say, I love my pastor, be such a person that we can trust those words. You follow what I'm saying? We can trust, I love my pastor without any ulterior motive. Amen. I am committed to my local church. Not that you are saying it so that you know people outside can, you don't mean what you are saying. Amen. That's faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. So true faithfulness is genuine. Amen. Not because you need something from someone. Is that clear? Is that clear? So say, I choose to be faithful. Say, I choose to be faithful. Say, I choose to be faithful. Say, in my dealings with others, come on, say it like you mean it. In my dealings with others, I choose to be faithful. In my dealings in my local church, I choose to be faithful. In my dealings with my pastor, I choose to be faithful. My words can be trusted. My actions can be trusted. I'm reliable. I am dependable. I am a faithful man. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Lift your hands.